The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
Good morning. So the amplification doesn't seem to be working very well this morning, but I do believe it is recording. So I think what I'll do is repeat your questions, if I can remember to do that. So that will also get recorded. So coming back now, I've been away on a period of 6 weeks of self-retreat, and so this is a transition for me to come back into teaching. And I talked to a group a couple days ago, and they were very interested in discussing transition, and I thought, this might be an interesting topic. So that's what I'm going to talk about today. Using transition in our lives as a place, as a field, and an opportunity for practice. Our lives are really full of transitions. When we think that word, often we think of the larger kind of transitions, you know, the ones that are big, the births, the deaths, the engagements, the marriages, the divorces. We tend to think of the larger transitions in our lives, and these do cause us some stress. I mean, even the ones that are happy transitions do cause us stress. And so they're a good place for us to check into. How are we reacting? But not only the larger transitions, but actually all of our lives are composed of transitions. Every day is a transition. We get up, that's a transition from sleep to wake. We go to work, that's a transition from being at home to going to work. So there are transitions that happen to us all over the place. And again, there can be kind of ones that take longer time, like the transitions around the seasons. You know, the school year, for instance, for parents, this is a transition in and out of the school year. The seasons themselves can be transitional for people. You know, as the light gets less, people can have some depression as there's a little less light, and then feeling their moods change as the spring comes back. So, you know, even the seasons, even things that are outside of our, you know, interpersonal reactions and interpersonal relations can bring a transition for us. And then even smaller ones, you know, the in and out of meditation is a transition. So we can look at transition, and we can look at our lives as transition and begin to explore how do we relate to going in and out of things. As we make this exploration, we can sometimes see and find that we have some similar reactions, some similar patterns. So I'll talk about this as we go. So particularly in terms of the mindfulness practice, it's most interesting to pay attention to what our reactions are to transition. They can bring up a variety of emotions. I mean, the kind of most obvious ones being anticipation and excitement if the transition is a fun one, like going on vacation. Or, anxiety, fear, that kind of emotion, dread for transitions that are, if we're in the place of anticipating the loss of a parent, you know, of a terminally ill parent. So the emotions are really the field of practice with transitions. But we can look at and kind of attune ourselves to, oh, this is a transition. What's happening here? What's going on? What is the response? We may have some particular patterns around our transitions. You know, going into things and coming out of things, there may be some particular patterns. So as we go in to something, you know, actually the beginning of something is also the ending of something else. So there's not really a clear dividing line. And yet, you know, we are often oriented more towards going in or coming out of something. So say, for instance, a meditation retreat, you know, we think about going in. So what do I have to do to get ready to go in? And coming out, what do I have to let go of? So what is it that, as going into something new, what is it that we're picking up? So noticing what we're picking up and what our reactions to that are. And also, are we having to let go of something as we go into something new? Is there something we are having to let go of as we go into something new? So, for example, like a vacation, you know, there could be a variety of emotion responses to that transition. You know, if you're preparing for the vacation, there may be the excitement of the trip, of meeting a friend, or of having this time away from our normal routine. There's kind of a sense of happiness around that transition. And an anticipation of the happiness of that, and there may be some other emotions too. The agitation around the preparation, the busyness around the preparation, the perhaps anxiety of leaving pets at home with a house sitter. So there's all kinds of emotions that come into play as we make these shifts, as we make these transitions. So coming out, too, what are we leaving behind as we come out? And what's our relationship to that? What's our relationship to letting go? So again, it's a lot about looking at relationship. What's our relationship to what we're moving into? What's our relationship to what we're moving away from? So what are the new things, and what are the new things that come as we let go? So, for instance, the ending of a relationship. You know, there might be quite a bit of grief, or even anger, bitterness, resentment, depending upon how the ending of the relationship came about. And yet there might also be a sense of curiosity about what the future will bring. Or perhaps a sense of anxiety about how am I going to be without this person. So again, you know, the transitions bring quite a bit of interesting field for exploration. So again, and thinking about patterns, this is particularly interesting to me, because I think that as we explore our lives, as we explore our experience with mindfulness, I think we do start to see that that we have similar patterns at various levels of experience. So a tiny little transition, for instance, of getting in and out of the shower, wouldn't necessarily think of that as a transition, but it occurred to me this morning since I was talking about transition. It's like, oh, here I am. I'm getting ready to finish my shower. This is a transition. What's happening? You know, so it was kind of like it kind of sparred me to pay attention. And that pattern, a very familiar pattern, was apparent for me, which was impatience at finishing something. It's like, you know, this is almost done. It's, you know, it's, and so there's this little bit of sense of rushing to finish the shower, as opposed to just, you know, doing it out, you know, in a very relaxed way. There's just this little bit of pushing, of leaning. It's like, oh. So that pattern of impatience at the end of things is one that's common for me in a wide variety of experiences, from the large transitions to the small. And so it was kind of interesting to me to see it this morning, just that little bit of, oh, here's a transition, and oh, there's that very familiar pattern of being impatient at the end. So one of the first times this was pretty clear to me, as a kind of a phenomenon, was when I finished my first three-month retreat. So there's a period at the end of a three-month meditation retreat where we have about 4 or 5 days of what they call integration practice. So we let go of the intensive retreat and we begin interacting. We have periods of conversation. There are some, you know, unstructured activities and structured activities which involve a lot of conversation and interaction. And boy, I sure resisted this. You know, it's like, I was like, you know, the retreat's almost over. What's the point of this? You know, why don't, just get me out of here. That was my feeling at that time. It's like, you know, I want to go on to the next thing. I don't want to linger with the ending little details here. It's like, this is already over. It's like, I wanted this, like, cut, finish. So I had this sense of impatience with the way things naturally kind of transition slowly. So for me, you know, it's very interesting to notice for yourselves, you know, it's checking in for yourselves with transitions, both large and small. You may start to see some similar patterns, some similar themes in your experience. So as we do this exploration, I mean, it's really supportive. I think you'll find if you explore how you respond in simple, small transitions, like getting out of the shower, that the seeing of the little reactions there, I mean, the reaction to getting out of the shower, the impatience there is pretty small. You know, it's not like a huge, I just can't stand this. It's like a little tiny bit of, it's pretty easy to be mindful of that kind of agitation if you are willing to meet it. So it's like, you know, starting small in a way, you know, being open to starting noticing where these little agitations happen, because it's much easier to get familiar with and get balanced around that kind of experience than it is a larger transition. So it's real. I think it's really helpful to take an interest in just how you transition in and out of all kinds of things and begin to get familiar with those patterns. Getting familiar with them, getting easy with those smaller versions of impatience, annoyance, agitation, excitement, will make it easier to be more balanced when they get stronger. So I encourage you with that. So I'm just going to name some kind of familiar patterns that I've noticed. I've talked about a couple of them in specifics, but in the abstract, in going into things, there might be a sense of resistance, of not wanting to take time away from other things. It, depending again on what you're moving into, you know, what there could be a sense of resistance. So you know, procrastination is something that happens a lot at transition. You know, it's like I don't really want to do that. You know, so there's that resistance. There's that procrastination. There could be a fear of knowing, of not knowing what's going to happen, as a slight anxiety or fear that comes at transition points of going into something new. Or there could be a sense of interest in that not knowing what is going to happen. There might be a sense of anticipation, of something that you're expecting to happen. So all kinds of just little different kinds of reactions, different kinds of experiences that we can meet coming in. Coming out, there might be a sense of, depending on whether it's something that you've enjoyed or something that you have been resisting, you know, there might be a sense of relief, oh, that's over, or there might be a sense of wanting to hold on to it, a sense of, oh, I like that, I don't want to let that vacation go, or a sitting meditation, I don't want to let that calm or peace go, I don't want that bell to ring, or it might be a sense of, oh, thank goodness that bell has rung. You know, so there's a lot of different responses. You know, daily life too, even simple things like going in and out of tasks at work. You know, this might be a very interesting thing to explore. You know, the settling in to a task at work, there might be a little bit of, again, there might be some resistance or some procrastination of not, you know, I just really don't want to be here, you know. But once we move in, we find, oh, it's really fine. So, you know, just again, noticing at that transition point, there might be some anxiety. Do I know what I'm doing? Do I know, you know, how I'm going to do this? Or there may be some interest or engagement. So again, just noticing what you experience. Transitions are a great place to just really check into what we hold on to, what we cling to, and what we don't want to hold on to. So there's another aspect around transitions that I particularly find interesting. And that's what might be called the limbo space. You know, when it's kind of like that place where I was in the retreat. You know, it's like this, the retreat hasn't quite ended and the next thing hasn't quite begun, and there's this in-between space. So uncertainty is kind of this the hallmark of this in-between space where we're not sure what's going to happen next. And we're not quite through with this last thing. It can bring up some uncertainty and even confusion. It can bring up a lot of different things. And this is often a really uncomfortable place for us, this place of limbo. And this, again, happens in the large and in the small. If you have, for instance, a parent with a terminal illness, you know, a diagnosis of cancer, and you know they've got 6 or 8 months to live, that whole period of time can be this kind of limbo space in a way where you're not quite, you know, it's you don't know how you're going to be. You know this loss, this great loss is coming. You don't know how you're going to be at the end of that time. And yet there's still this time here, and yet it's different. It's not the same as it was before that diagnosis. And so the place of that in between where transitions. So there's often not a cut and dried transition. It's very often lengthy, or you know takes. It's rare that transitions are abrupt. They may feel abrupt in our minds, but mostly there's a sense of kind of a gradual change. And this in between place, it can be pretty uncomfortable. I think a lot of us don't like to hang out there. We want to get it over with and move on. And it's also culturally, I think, not appreciated as a value. It's actually one of the most rich places for growth, for in exploration. There's a lot of opportunity in that place of transition, that in-between place where we're not certain. A lot of opportunity for growth there. So it can be challenging to hang out there. But I'd like to suggest that the willingness to not do things that kind of tidy it up and push it to the side brings a lot of great meeting of experience. It provides a rich exploration of that place of the unknown, of uncertainty, and how we respond there, and openness to opportunity, being willing to be open to something completely different. So, you know, the thing I referred to a few moments ago about the ending of that retreat, you know, it really, that really clearly showed me my discomfort with those kinds of lengthy transitions. I just, that impatience around get this over with, I didn't really understand the value of hanging out in that space. And since then, I have clearly understood the value, I mean, not only of taking the time to transition out of deep silence into a little more gentle talking before, like, going out on the freeway and going to the grocery store, and it's like, it's mind-blowing, that transition. You do need to take some time. And there's also a lot that can be learned. So this, again, is a specific example. A lot that can be learned about how our personalities get put back together as we, you know, come out of that space of silence and not being interacting with people to the place of interacting. You know, you're sitting in silence all day long. You know, you see there's a lot of things going on in your mind about reacting with people. You know, you have conversations with people. You like people. You dislike people. You fall in love with people. You hate other people. And it's all in your mind. And then you come out of that silence and you start talking to people. And it's like, whoa, there's all of this, all of those thoughts about what I like, what I don't like, they're starting to come out into the field of the interaction, and it's bringing back me as people respond. So there's a lot to learn in that transition in particular, and I think in those kinds of spaces. I have a friend who at one point was really, you know, she had let go of a job, and she wasn't sure what she was going to do next. And in talking to people, she told me about it, and I said, well, how do you feel about it? She says, well, you know, I feel like I'm kind of in limbo. And I said, well, you know, that can be really powerful, to allow yourself that space to just see what will open, what will happen next. And she said, yeah, you know, most people, when I talk to them, the very first thing out of their mouths are, you know, when I tell them I'm not working, they say, well, what's your next job? What are you going to do next? You know, it's like culturally we push on it. It's like we also don't, in as a culture, I think we don't value that space of transition so much, that space of in between. So, you know, if possible, allowing time, you know, realizing and recognizing that transitions, that in-between space and transition can be a really powerful time of exploration, allowing the time for them, if possible. It's not always possible, as in, for example, you know, finding a new job. You know, sometimes our bills, you know, it's like, you know, we don't have the space to take 2 or 3 months to just say, well, what's going to happen next? You know, we need to go find a job so that we can pay our bills. So, you know, sometimes we have to have compassion for ourselves, that we actually need to take some quick action as opposed to being more open and spacious around a transition. So being wise about that as well, you know, when is it wise to allow that time, and when is it wise to take quick action? But it can be a very interesting place to explore if you are kind of jumping the gun on that transition. Are you... are you uncomfortable with that space, and so you are doing things, taking actions that aren't, they don't actually have to happen right now, but you're taking those actions because you're so uncomfortable with this space of uncertainty. So be aware of that possibility Now that's a kind of a that would be more of an unskillful way to deal with a transition. You know, if you actually do have the time, but you're just so uncomfortable with the space, it's like, well, I'll just take the anything just to get rid of this feeling of uncertainty. That's interesting to pay attention to, that discomfort with uncertainty. So if possible, allowing that time. At the end of a relationship, that's a time when it is, for some people it may not feel like an option that you absolutely, feel so completely out of kilter without a relationship that you just pick up on the next person. But it's not as if a relationship or non-relationship is it's not going to help us pay the bills or not necessarily. So, we can take the time. So, leaving a relationship, allowing ourselves to explore what happened and what's it like now in this space of being single, being alone. So again, exploring that uncertainty. In the earlier years of my practice, there was a lot of transition for me around, what am I? My life is changing so radically. How do I respond to this? How do I relate to this? After that first 3-month retreat, I came out of that first 3-month retreat, and it's like I felt like my whole world had been turned around. And I didn't feel like I really knew how to relate to the world very well anymore. I didn't know what I wanted to do. I knew that I wanted to do more of the meditation practice, but how my whole life fit into this? Like, I felt myself pulled into moving towards the practice, but I didn't know how that would unfold. And so there was a lot of agitation. And it felt to me, like I was on this ocean with huge waves and storms, and it just felt like I had there was a lot of agitation, a lot of confusion, and I didn't know what direction to go. And it was interesting because on that retreat, somebody had been talking about a sailor. A Hawaiian sailor who was navigating the Pacific Ocean without instruments, who was, using some of the ancient techniques for navigating the Pacific Ocean without instruments. And there was a little bit of that story where he told of the old, there was the younger person who was learning the techniques, and there was the old master who was with him. Who was kind of just keeping track of things as they were going. And he was asleep in the boat, and the younger guy was there doing the navigation and sailing, and the older man sits up and says, "Take down the sails," because he'd felt some kind of pressure change or something and felt that that a storm was coming. And surely enough, within a few minutes there was a huge storm. And so, taking down the sails, you don't try to steer a course on the ocean when there's all of this turbulence. You ride it out. And so as I was feeling all of this turbulence, that story came back to me. It's like, oh, take down the sails. Don't try to decide right now what I'm going to do. And that was a huge relief for me. I mean, it's like it went against everything that I had done in the past. It's like I am so impatient at those transitions times. Like, I need to know what's going to happen next. I need to figure it out. And this was a huge lesson for me. No, take down the sails. You just ride this out. And then another period, probably several years later, when I had come to a place where things were pretty peaceful in my life. It's just like, I still had no idea where I was going or what I was doing. And every place I looked, it was just like, it was the same. It's like, it didn't matter what I did. It didn't matter which direction I went. And I felt like, at that point, I felt like I was in the middle of an ocean that was completely calm. And there were no landmarks anywhere. I was so far from land that there would be no way to know which direction to swim. There were nothing to guide me on which way to go. And at that point, it's like, oh, I guess I can float. You know, I don't have to try to swim and exhaust myself looking in a direction when I don't know if there's land that way. Just float. Just float. And that was another big change for me in dealing with this kind of limbo space. The willingness. It's similar in a way to that take down the sails because you're just riding it out. But in this case, you're just floating, allowing the ocean to support you. So also taking the time, recognizing that some transitions impact us quite strongly for a long time. You know, the death of a parent or the death of a child or a partner, those have a major, long-lasting impact. And, really honoring the time that it takes, not having some idea, 6 months, okay, 6 months, I should be over it in 6 months, and then trying to, but more just allowing and meeting the experience of the grief, of the sadness, of the loss. The processing of it that way, rather than the repressing of it to try to get over it. So looking at transitions, if we have transitions as a field of practice, we will meet the whole of the Dharma. The transitions themselves are a manifestation of impermanence. That's what they are. Impermanence, moment to moment, clear. Our willingness to meet transition helps us to learn about this changing, this ever-changing nature of our experience. Our willingness to see that things do transition in and out helps us to acknowledge that we can't hold on. We can't hold on to things. That holding on brings us to dukkha, to stress, to suffering. This is the first noble truth. Second noble truth being that the holding on is what creates the suffering. We want some kinds of change. We want some kinds of transitions. We don't want others. The ones we want, if something gets in our way, we feel agitated, we feel annoyed, we feel resentful. The ones we don't want, we want to get rid of, we want to push away. So we see the suffering that happens because of our reactions. We start to see, the transitions themselves are just transitions. And it's the reactions to them that are causing our stress around them. Even the stress of excitement and anticipation can be stressful. And we can also start to see, even in small ways, the way we can let go of that reactivity and feel more balanced around the transitions. Over the years of practice, many, many people talk about, there's a lot going on right now, and I see how much more at ease my mind is than I would have been 5 years ago. So the practice of looking at these reactions and being willing to meet them supports us. And we begin to actually recognize that we're no longer reacting quite so strongly. So we see the benefits. We see that this practice supports us. So we see impermanence through looking at transition. We see this quality of dukkha. We begin to see the Four Noble Truths. And we can also see this truth of not self in a way, particularly through this avenue of not having control. That particularly in that limbo space, we can really see that sense of uncertainty, and that sense of no control necessarily, openness to that not having control. And we can start to see the beautiful qualities that we cultivate as we engage in this practice of working with transitions. Another really small, simple example from this last retreat that I just finished. I was doing a concentration practice, and for me, when I do concentration, my mind gets into states that... It's helpful for me to take some time coming out of the meditation. So as opposed to setting a bell and saying, okay, the meditation's done. When the mind felt ready to end the meditation, so there's a lot of the concentration in involves quite a bit of mental energy, mental efforting. And at some point in the process, the mind would say, okay, that's enough. It's enough for now. I'm gonna let this meditation go. I was sitting usually anywhere from an hour and a half to 2.5, even 3 hours. So, just taking this time. And the mind would clearly let me know, okay, enough. Time to stop. But at that point, I didn't simply get up. I allowed myself to take the time to transition. And I would basically move from the concentration practice where I was consciously turning my attention towards the breathing over and over again and holding the attention to the breathing. I turned from that to open awareness and just simply watch the experience. Watch the experience change as I let go of the intentionality. And I could sit there for half an hour watching things change in a very relaxed and easeful way. Learning a lot. Learning about patience, because there were times when it was like, huh, because as I was coming out, it'd be like, oh, the body starts to come back. Oh, there's hunger. Oh, I need to go to the bathroom. Things like that. It's like, oh, but I can hang out here for a little longer. So a little bit of impatience comes up. So learning about patience. There's some wisdom that comes in that time of just being willing to watch, of seeing how the mind can be more balanced and relaxed in certain ways. It's kind of like almost like that period of time trained me in more relaxed ways to pay attention the next time I went into the meditation. So it was very interesting to take that time. And I almost every single meditation, I came and finished the meditation, and it felt so good to have taken that time. The mind felt relaxed, refreshed, at ease, having taken that time. Yeah.
I started meditating at home, so I have the bench, I have the, I don't know what you call the bowl. So one thing I noticed that I've done is when I start my meditation, I'm in a room that has a lot of sunlight in it most of the time, and I'm looking at an ornamental pear tree, talking about transition. And so what I've done is, I don't know why I've done this, but the ritual is to start the meditation, I just dip the bowl once and I focus in on the waves of the sound. And then right now I'm just doing a half an hour. But when I come out of the meditation, or when the half hour is up, this thing about transition is very important, actually. So for some reason I decided one gong in the beginning and three at the end, because that feels more like a real transition. And I want to, as you're talking about, the reason I'm talking now is because I'm really relating to what you're saying, is transition, afterwards be different than the transition going into it for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
But I end up looking at this ornamental pear tree, which has transitions with all the seasons. Like I'm noticing in the beginning of the winter, it's bright red. And right now, there's no leaves on it. There's little buds on it. But that's what I look at the end of the meditation. Uh-huh. I realize I'm still meditating.
Yes. Exactly. Yes. And so, yeah, the transition coming out of this, I'll just say a few words of what you said. So going into the sitting, using a transition of just hitting one bell and then listening to the sounds, that's a great transition moving into a sitting. It's like something that just reminds you, yes, I'm making a transition and I'm moving in. So like we do here, you know, what I do is, you know, the deep breaths, the connection with the body, the relaxation, it reminds you, you know, to take some conscious steps moving in so that you don't just sit down and space out. And then the coming out, it's also really helpful, particularly coming out, to rather than just like throw away the mindfulness, you know, it's like you've been practicing for a period of time and cultivating, gathering that momentum. If you can have a clear transition out of the sitting, it can support your kind of pulling the thread of that mindfulness into our activities, which is what you're talking about, you know, listening to the three bells and looking at the tree, you know, seeing the differences in the tree. Yes, you are still meditating. And can you take that even into the standing up? I mean, can that transition even follow you into the standing up? So, yeah, thank you. Yeah. Yes, exactly. Standing up is happening. Yes. So I was pretty much done. I did have a couple more qualities to mention. You know, oh, there is one more quality in particular. So, you know, I have a list of qualities that we cultivate as we explore our reactions to transitions. You know, patience, calm, balance of mind, equanimity, you know, kindness and compassion, wisdom. Wisdom gets cultivated because we see the reactions and we see how, you know, we relate skillfully or unskillfully to our experience. We cultivate determination as we bring our attention to our experience. We cultivate energy and mindfulness. All of these qualities, all of these beautiful qualities come along as we attend to our experience. And then there's curiosity. And curiosity, I think, is probably one of the big ones. You know, if we can get curious about transition, you know, kind of, I'd encourage you this week, you know, see if you can kind of orient yourself to looking at your life through this lens and get curious about how you respond to the transitions. There's such a huge benefit in curiosity. You know, it's an engaging thing, you know, it engages us, and yet it also lets us step back. So it's got both of those sides to it. It engages us in interest and investigation, and yet it's more of a sense of, and what's that like, as opposed to the reactivity to it. So, you know, the benefits of curiosity are great. So any other comments or questions? I'm curious about your own transitions and and what you've noticed.
I've noticed for myself when I meditate that I do need a ritual. I do bring a chime and one candle. And when I don't do that, it is different.
Uh-huh.
Thank you for the ornamental pear tree and the act of looking at something that does change over seasons, which is our transition. I mean, that's a great metaphor for me. It helps to connect nature and the how do I begin? And I know that about myself, but do I
So again, with the transitions in, you know, it can be really helpful to have a little ritual.
Yeah.
They're very helpful.
Yeah.
And if you're someplace where the ritual is not possible, seeing if you can, rather than clinging to that ritual of that candle and that bell, you know, see if you can create something in the moment. You know, be allow yourself to be creative about a ritual. It might be as simple as, at one point I was using a resolve at the beginning of my sitting. May I be aware, alert, and kind with my experience. You know, just a little reminder to myself, you know, this is what my intention is. And so you can be creative with that little ritual, and it doesn't have to be the same. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
I've been struggling. I'm thinking I shouldn't speak. I don't feel well. And I apologize for being trying to get a substitute for something that
No problem.
And I just did, and I feel so relieved that I'm transitioning into your conversation. I wish I hadn't missed it. I guess it's recorded, so I hope I can catch it. Transitions are so important, and I'm finding this week especially I have so much.
Yes.
Yeah, and just taking, even if you don't have a routine, just some time to be, and to notice, I love the shower thing this morning. You know, I'm going to definitely, next time I get out of my shower, I'll be noticing. But just those little things, it's easier to notice then when you're actually in a serious transition that.
Exactly. So what you talk about, the overbooking and not having time for the transitions, that's so common for us. You know, we do that all the time, and we don't give ourselves the opportunity. And, you know, when we're in the midst of that, compassion for ourselves that we've done, as opposed to judgment, as opposed to being, oh, I was so stupid for you. This is the way it is. Okay, this is the way it is. I'm overbooked. So what can I do in those in-between times? You know, maybe there's even as, this is something else I didn't mention earlier, but, you know, transitions where we don't feel like we have enough time between things, like perhaps you're really rushed getting out of the house to get to work because you've got kids and, you know, you've got to make their lunches and you've got to, you know, make your breakfast and their breakfast, and so it's like this whirlwind of activity, and then you got to get yourself out the door and to work. Maybe you could use the time walking from your house to your car and in the car to driving to work. Use that as a transition time. You know, allow yourself, rather than spinning forward thinking about, and what do I need to do, what do I need to do, take that even minute or two or five or ten, you know, if you've got more time in the car, to allow that to be that. Don't turn on the radio. You know, you know, just really give yourself the space to recognize, okay, wow, that was a whirlwind. How has that impacted me? Maybe even just a couple of deep breaths to let yourself recoup a little bit. So even if you only have 2 minutes between events, you know, in the walking from one meeting to the next, rather than projecting into that next meeting, be here for the walk. So you give yourself, it's kind of like a conscious way of giving yourself a little bit of transition time.
So I can take this practice out.
Exactly.
And I get mad at myself. I've been sitting here, like, why am I even here? You know, because I've been pulled in this direction. And I'm just frustrated. But I'm happy to be here.
Exactly, yeah.
Right, so it's also like with the kids, because my kids are a little older now, but when they were young, it's transition time for everything, and we're still like that as adults. You
Yeah, we are. We transitions are, they follow us all the way through our lives. Well, if there's nothing else, we can take the last 4 minutes to transition out with a little meditation. And we'll do some metta practice. So allowing yourself to connect to your body and perhaps taking a few breaths, thinking of them as going in and out of your heart. Allowing yourself to connect to your sense of yourself, however that makes sense for you, just sitting here perhaps, or perhaps an image of yourself. And begin wishing yourself goodwill. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I be safe. May I live with ease. And expanding out the field of kindness to your fellow meditators here. Acknowledging this time that we've been sitting together and talking together. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you be safe. May you live with ease. And may this transition from this group meeting out into your world be easeful and peaceful. And expanding out further to the direction you're headed, wherever you're going next. However you're going, envisioning that, and envisioning people you may meet along the way. People in cars, on the freeway, people at an office or at home, wherever you encounter beings, wishing them well as well. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you be safe. May you live with ease. And to all beings, everywhere, recalling as we expand this field of metta to all beings, that when you wish metta to all beings, you also are wishing it for yourself. May all beings be happy. May all beings be healthy. May all beings be safe. May all beings be at ease. And may the beneficial results of our practice here together, our discussion and our time sitting and reflecting on the Dharma, be of benefit to those that we will come into contact with and spread. Rippling out like waves. May all beings be free from suffering. Thank you. Enjoy your transitions.